Okay, Rabbi Isaiah, I'm sorry about the almost expected technical difficulty. We will begin Bezras Hashem. Okay, we're going to continue in Chavis Halvavis. We are on in Chavis Halvavis Shah Bitochen Perek Dalid. In my Leif Tov edition, it is page Shin Mem Vav. And the Chavis Halvavis now is, in a way, reaching a certain climax in his discussion of how we apply bitachon to our interpersonal affairs. He talked about how you apply bitachon within the family, the activities in the family, how you apply bitachon with society, bosses, employers, employees, etc. And now he's going to discuss how we apply bitachon to enemies, in the realm of enemies. So, Aval inyanei oivav v'chaimdav o'mevak sheira osay. If you have enemies, if you have, well, we'll say competitors in a mild way, or people who want what you have, or people who are out to get you, chas v'shalom, yivtach. You have to apply bitachon here as well and understand that they cannot do anything outside of what Hashem decided. If Hashem does not want you to be affected by them, whatever they try will not succeed. And if chalila they do succeed, what that means is that Hashem decreed a certain aggravation on you. They'd be coming about through them. Now, to stress, this is not to exempt them from their responsibility. They'll be held accountable for the wrong things they do. But nevertheless, in terms of how it affects you, this is Hashem's decision for you. And here also the Chavis Halvavis wants us to apply bitachon and say, if I was meant to suffer this offense, this injury, this is what Hashem decided is best for me. The Yisboel Cherpasam and tolerate their offense. Va'yigmar lahem kifa'alam and do not reciprocate. Now, here I want to stress, this does not mean that if a person wants to hit you, give them the other cheek, them to hit you too. You may have to take measures to defend yourself. There is such a thing. There's such a thing as going to Besdin. There's such a thing as suing a person. And there's such a thing as doing other things in order to protect yourself from a person who would do you harm. But nevertheless, the Chavis Halvavis is saying, it becomes a very fine line. It becomes a very fine line. And here the Chavis Halvavis is laying out a very high standard for us. A high standard. But let's expose ourselves to it. The way we generally see it is that if I'm involved in a feud, if I'm involved in some sort of fight, if we'll put it that way, so it's all out war. You may not want to cross certain red lines. But it becomes very personal. It becomes very personal, and you celebrate your victories over the other person. Let's say you did everything according to halacha. You went to Din Torah, perhaps the Beis Din ruled that you should go to court, whatever the case is, and you did what you needed to do, and you won. And now the other person has to pay for what they did. So it's a very fine line. It goes back to what the Chavis Halvavis was talking about earlier. If you understand that going to Beis Din against this person, why wouldn't we just say, he wants to rob you of $50,000? Be mevater, be mevater. We don't necessarily say that. Wants to rob you of $50,000, go to Beis Din. But there's a challenge here, and that is do it once again like any other yishtadlis as going through the motions. Hashem put me into this situation. He expects me to take steps of yishtadlis to look out for myself. So I'm going to do that because Hashem wants me to do it, not because I'm personally invested here. I'm saying these words, very clearly conceding that this is over my head. But let's hear it. Be able to go to Beis Din while remaining detached. While remaining detached and not allowing yourself to become personally invested. I'm going to Beis Din because, once again, I have to do my ishtadlis. If I win, I don't celebrate my victory. This was how Hashem wanted it to play out. And I'm relieved that I didn't suffer a loss. If I lose, then I say, this is what Hashem decreed upon me. Now, it's very likely that you're not going to come away from the affair with a very high opinion for the other person. But again, this is not what we're discussing right now. What we're discussing is your personal feelings on the matter. And the Chavetz Chaim of us would like us to approach this too with a mindset of bitachon. And also, v'yisbal cherpasa, meaning there are going to be the things that are outside the realm of protecting myself. See, that's also a fine line to draw. I may have to take measures, I have to take steps to protect myself. But then there are additional steps, there are going to be additional things involved if you really got entangled with the wrong person that aren't really an issue of protecting yourself and not protecting yourself. He's offending you. He's saying very insulting things to you, etc. Here, there's no harm that he's causing you. It's just very offensive. Here the Chavetz Chaim of us says that you can lower your head and just swallow it. Here, there is no need for you to defend yourself. There's no need for you to protect yourself. Again, if it's a situation where your reputation is going to be ruined, that's another story. But let's say in terms of technical harm, he's not going to harm you. But he is saying things that are very offensive. Here's where we come on to the sublime midah of being able to tolerate offense without responding. The way Chazal put this is, Hane'elovim ve'enam oilvim. This is considered a very, very sublime level, a very sublime madrega. Chazal say, Hane'elovim ve'enam oilvim. Those who are offended, but they do not offend, Shem im cherpasam ve'en meshivim ve'enim. They hear themselves being denigrated, but they do not respond. They hear their own denigration, but they don't respond. Oisim me'ava usmeichim b'yisurin. They are happy to undergo this tribulation, and they operate through it with a sense of love for Hashem. Meaning, someone is offending me. Someone's hitting good old number one. So is it now, right now, I have a very, very holy task at hand, and that is, I have to defend my ego. Or do I say, I want to go through this as a lover of Hashem. This is not about me and the other person. This is about me and Hashem. And this is an opportunity for me. This is an opportunity for me to prove my loyalty to Hashem, to prove my love for Hashem by accepting it, saying, Hashem, this is not him doing this to me, this is you doing this to me, and I am going to swallow. I'm going to swallow. And I'm happy to have the opportunity to do that. I'm happy to have the opportunity to do that. This is a madrega that Chazal say, Alei makos uvayim meva'ayavav ketes Hashemesh v'gvorosay. About such people, the pasuk says, the lovers of Hashem will shine like the sun coming forth in its full strength. This is considered a very, very sublime madrega. Now, the Shlom notes that there are actually three levels that are defined here. We may not be able to make the top level, but let's at least strive for one of the levels. All of these levels are considered very high levels. Number one is, Ne'elovim ve'enam oilvim. They are offended, but they don't offend. He might answer back, but he's not going to answer back offensively. Then there's, They hear themselves being denigrated, but they simply don't respond. That's level number two. They don't respond at all. And then the next level is they actually embrace the opportunity. They actually embrace the opportunity. I'm happy to have the opportunity to swallow because I understand its immense value spiritually. Yes, the opportunity to be offended, to be insulted and not to respond is something very, very great. And it puts a person in a very high level. I would like to elaborate with a very poignant example of this. David HaMelech was a man with a very, very inspiring life story, a very intense life story, a very inspiring life story. This is a man of very, very great achievements, right? We all know that. Nobody has to elaborate at too much length to prove that. David HaMelech was an extremely ambitious person. And he made a very bold statement to Hashem. He said, Klal Yisrael says, Elekei Avram, Elekei Yitzchak, Elekei Yaakov, you're identified, right? By all of Klal Yisrael is the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. I want to be on that list also. I want you to be identified as Elekei David. So Hashem said, it's not so simple to be on the level of the others. Not so simple to be on the level of the others. David really wanted to. Now, there was a whole story there, and you're probably familiar with it. Hashem told him, I tested the others with very, very tough tests. And David said, so test me also. That was deemed a mistake on his part. You don't invite tests. And that was when he was actually tested with the story of Bathsheba, which didn't work out well, at least in and of itself. But whatever the case is, this was an ambition that David had. Now, later in David's life, his son rebelled against him. Now, we have to appreciate the magnitude of that event. It was terrible. It was terrible. Because it very much came from a place of, after David had his incident with Bathsheba, it became public knowledge. David was very, very terribly disgraced over that. And Avshalom was actually writing on that. We're not going to get into the whole background of the story there, but Lemaiseh said very much had to do with the fact that, like, the attitude was, especially among those who were backing Avshalom, was that David fell out of favor with Hashem, and the dynasty of Malchus Yehuda is going to continue with Avshalom. And Avshalom staged a successful revolt. And many of the great people of Klal Yisrael were with Avshalom. And David had to escape. He had to flee with a small band of loyal followers. Now we have to appreciate that this was the lowest point in David's life. The lowest point in David's life. And we know that he ended up being restored. He ended up coming out victorious. David didn't know that at the time. The sense was that David had lost the kingdom and was being banished in disgrace by his own son. This was a man who had done very great. He erred. He fell. And he's being banished from the Malchus of Hashem in disgrace. And that was how the people were relating to it. Many of the people were relating to it that way. This is David being discarded by Hashem. This was an extreme low point in David's life. He's running away with a small band of followers, of loyal servants. And as he's running out of Yerushalayim, he's accosted by Shimi ben Gera. You're probably familiar with the incident. Shimi ben Gera was a man, actually a prestigious Talmud Chacham, who was glad to see David go. And he helped him along by throwing stones and dirt and yelling all kinds of insults to David. You're an abomination. You're a murderer, etc. Good riddance. Now, David was a king. And Avishai, David, one of David's men, said to David, this person deserves to die. And David's response was, don't kill him. Alekim amalei kalil. This curse is being directed from by Hashem. His curses are being directed from Hashem. Don't kill him. Let him go. And David simply lowered his head, tried to duck the stones, and continued fleeing out of Jerusalem. David didn't know it, but all of his immense achievements, Jerusalem, creating Jerusalem, Sefer Tehillim, did not achieve what that moment achieved. Chazal tell us that it was at that moment that David was designated as the regular Revi'i LaMerkava, whatever this means, the fourth wheel of the heavenly chariot, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. It was at that moment that David's lifelong wish to actually be classed among the others was achieved then. That catapulted him. That catapulted him to his historic greatness, outdoing all of his other immense achievements, which themselves put him into a place of historic greatness. That was the low point in his life materially. It was the high point in his spiritual career. That moment where David swallowed and said, no, I'm not going to act on this. There's more to be said about that, but we'll stop here for tonight.
Thank you very much.